Welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces on KTAL LP 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. We are still expecting Las Cruces School Superintendent Ignacio Ruiz. While we wait for him, we are going to turn now to a he is just walking through
perfect
the doors
timing
as we speak. And so we're going to hold off on the interview. Super, please come in and join us.
Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm Nancy.
Thank you so much.
Good morning.
So we are joined this morning by Las Cruces School Superintendent Ignacio Ruiz.
And you don't need that unless we get called.
Okay.
Perfect. Don't want to mess your hair.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, good morning. Good morning, and thank you for your patience. It's great to be here. Great opportunity as always. And I know it's a little bit late, but Happy New Year, right?
Happy New Year to you.
We'll
as
always
well
take that. The month of January, we can still
We're
say
still
Happy
in
New
January,
Year.
Exactly.
So Nancy and I were talking earlier, the legislature just started yesterday. Obviously, every year I know that all schools around the state are interested in what happens up there, both in terms of funding and legislation. And so what things are you looking at this year in terms of the 30-day session that just started?
Yes, great. Exactly. We're excited about this year. Just really quick, we want to thank our legislators. Since I've been here, the support that they've, you know, provided for LCPS and some very important key contributions, and we're able to get some projects off the ground. But you know, specifically for this year, one of the things that we're keeping an eye on, which is going to be huge for us, is the 80-20 insurance split for educators.
Okay.
Last legislative session, state workers were given that, right? They forgot about educators, we are definitely – we've had some great conversations with our local delegation here in this part of the state who are supporting that. There is a bill up in Santa Fe. As a matter of fact, I'll be up there this weekend for the Mesilla Valley Days and the Chamber of Commerce.
Is that for health insurance?
For health insurance,
yeah. Do you want to explain the bill a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, so the 80-20, basically it's 80% is paid by the state or the district and 20% for employees. Now – the second year that I was here, I established that because I really felt that that was a great way to not only add more money to people's pockets, but also a great investment in our people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've implemented that as a school district for both of our support staff as well as our teachers and actually all of our staff. But for us, that's about an $8 million budget investment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge for us, but I really feel that we need to invest in our people. It also helps our recruitment and retention, you know, of our employees. And so it's huge. So my point there is that if and when the legislature supports this, that frees up a little bit of money also for us as a school district.
And it'd be statewide.
And it would be statewide, exactly. And it would help every single educator across the state. So that's a big one for us right now.
Yep. And keeping educators is really tough because the salary isn't really competitive with many other fields, and you don't want your best and brightest to be leaving the profession.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, I know it's our recruitment and retention is actually pretty strong right now. Our teacher fill rate is at around 98% as a school
That's
district.
Great.
And we've increased our fill rate in some of our hard-to-fill positions, such as our instructional assistants in classes. Do we want to? You know, we want to be increase that. Absolutely, there's still work to be done there, but it does help.
In terms of building and new construction, anything like that that you have pending this year, and where are we at with the construction projects that had been funded in previous years?
Absolutely. So our website, we are every quarter we update all of our construction projects, right, for our district. So that information is there, and we are moving forward with many projects in several of our schools. Our next major project will be Mayfield High School.
Yeah.
And again, as I've been saying, definitely appreciate the support of our community for passing the GO bond and the mill levy. That's huge, right, to be able to fund these type of projects because you're talking, you know, anywhere from $170 to $200 million for a building that size. And again, from the last project that we had, which was Las Cruces, costs have gone up. I mean, tremendously,
right.
and it's a huge challenge.
And yet you have that aging infrastructure you have to deal with it.
Yes,
for the safety of the students.
Absolutely. The other piece that's important, and we'll be putting this in front of the board here in a couple of months, we just finished our facilities master plan, which does an analysis of every building. And, you know, lots of challenges. Our buildings are old, right? Yeah. 50 years old, 60 years old.
That's
And so, you know, it's a one chunk at a time. And so we are trying to ensure that we're being strategic and prioritize those buildings that need to be that have safety issues, things like that, you know, that we're prioritizing.
Is part of the plan, are you looking at any schools to be closed and resources reallocated, or
not at this point? As a matter of fact, last night for our board meeting, our recommendation for this next school year is not to make any adjustments. You know, we just redistricted. Mm-hmm. We're keeping an eye on our student population, our student enrollment. The East Mesa is our biggest challenge right now.
Yeah.
We have, I think, over about 11 or 12 building projects, housing projects out in that area. Over 1,100 homes being built are going to get built out there, and so that continues to be a challenge.
Yeah.
And so we keep an eye on our schools in that side. At this point, although we have some schools that are pretty, high up there in enrollment, we don't feel that there's a need yet for a micro adjustment. Although the board, policy-wise, they approved that last year when we redistricted to ensure that we're looking at that on a yearly basis, so that we don't get to the point where our schools are just, you know, the portables and just the busting at the
seams.
Yeah,
you don't want to panic. Yeah, but
right?
You can have clear-eyed planning
exactly.
for the future.
What we are looking at as well is the schools that are under-enrolled. We have schools, you know, that
everybody knows where the population in town is shifting.
Yeah, where it's shifting. Yeah. And so we have to be cognizant of that and understand that there may be some tough decisions to be made here, you know, in the near future.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about I lost my question. Mayfield. That's what
yes.
I was. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, has that started yet, and what is going to happen with Mayfield?
Absolutely. So right now we're in the process. Now that the bond went through, we're in the process now of asking the state and applying for some of the matching funds that are available there, and it's an application process. The good thing is that Mayfield is ranked as one of the. Unfortunately, for lack of a better way to say this, one of the worst as far as needing repair and, et cetera.
High priority.
High priority. Thank you. That's a better way to say that. Mm-hmm. So we're in that top 100 is where you want – that's the target that you want to be at so that you can access some of those funds. And usually, and right now that's more of a 40-60 split where the state funds about 40% of the cost, which is still a challenge, right, because it's – with this being a multi-year project, we want to make sure to be able to access those dollars. But on our end, we need to have some budget to be able to match that or, you know, have money available. And that's where the geo bond comes in.
Mm-hmm.
We've also been doing looking at our budget strategically. So when there's over or under fund, when projects come in under
estimates,
thank you, then we utilize, we've been shifting that money more towards that project of Mayfield.
Sounds like you're what is the word I'm looking for? Like you can move quickly on your feet. You almost have to do that as a superintendent, don't you?
Definitely do. And since we have lots of priorities, we have to look at what's the best way to approach all of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when do you plan to start construction, and will students stay in the school as that is going on? And how?
Yes.
Yeah.
The goal right now, as we apply for these funds, we should know probably before the end of the school year, and then of course then we start the design phase. That takes a bit. The plan is for students to stay there and just shift as we're building, and utilize some of the areas that are not being used, such as the parking lot. That starting in the parking lot, and that's going to shift to a different part of the school, et cetera. So we're not looking to relocate students at this point.
And you're not expecting any in the old days, finding things like asbestos that would suddenly add to a huge cost.
Right. No, that's not exactly. No, it would add.
It should be predictable.
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is you are now coming up on the third year of what is a 5-year plan that you have put in place to increase reading and math scores and graduation rates. Mm-hmm. So can you talk? Are we making the progress that you had hoped that we would make to this point? And can you talk a little bit about that effort?
Yes. Our 5-year strategic plan, although it is a living document, a living plan, right? We look at it every year, and we did this year as well. We're making some adjustments. but proud to say that this past year, 14 of our schools were recognized by the State Department or the Public Education Department for some of the highest growth in English language arts as well as math in the state.
Hmm.
And so to your question is, yes, we are making progress. Are we where we need to be? Absolutely not. But it takes time, right? As long as the goal is that you're making that growth on a yearly basis, mm-hmm. then that's where you're going to reduce those opportunity gaps, for example, for our Martinez-Yazzie student groups. And so we are making progress. And you know, part of the work that our teachers are doing, our principals, our central office. And so, again, the other piece of this is out of all of our schools, every single school with the exception of one is rated, you know, as the state rates or ranks schools across the state. Every single one with the exception of one is at what we call traditional or spotlight. Spotlight being the highest, traditional right under that. Mm-hmm. And so, again, our schools are making progress. Many of our schools moved from the lower end to more of that higher end. And the one school that is not at this point is our alternative high school, which is, again, sometimes a little bit expected, right? These are mm-hmm. kiddos that were preventing dropouts, and mm-hmm. they're not. They have challenges in a large comprehensive high school,
mm-hmm.
but they're making gains as well, as we can see.
As long as they're moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. We're all moving in the right direction. And the key piece of this as well is our Board of Education. Board of Education has been very supportive, very strategic in thinking and asking the right questions and making sure that we're looking at the right things as we're supporting our schools.
You mentioned Martinez-Yazzie. For people who aren't familiar, that was a lawsuit that was filed 8 or 9 years ago,
yes.
if I remember, in which the Supreme Court ruled that poor children, minority children, are equally deserving. Well, help me with have the same constitutional right
yes.
to a full education
mm-hmm.
as
yes.
all other children, I guess would be the best way to
absolutely.
Put it.
Absolutely, and it's really looking at an equity lens. And an equity
yes.
lens is that those kiddos that need more should get more, right? That's
mm-hmm.
how you look at it. It's not that it's equal across the board. It's that equity piece. And,
mm-hmm.
And that's something, in my experience in other systems that I've been, it's always been a challenge. And it's great to be in a state that is really saying, you need to ensure that you're providing the right resources. As a state, we're going to provide them, that they're being allocated. Our strategic plan is formed around that. Our data, every time we look at our data, anything we look at, Martinez-Yazzie is always at the forefront
mm-hmm.
to ensure how are we doing with kiddos that need that support, that mm-hmm. additional support. We're making some gains.
Do you build good relationships with parent groups? Are they partners in a lot of this?
Absolutely. All of our schools have parent groups that they meet with and provide feedback. Our surveys, you know, we've had some of the highest participating percentages ever, from my understanding, you know, from even previous to when I was here, in survey participation. We are looking to start establishing a district advisory committee and how that's going to look like. What we don't want is, you know, survey fatigue, right? That you're sending
yeah.
survey after survey. We want to make sure that we're getting quality data, and we are. And that's why we're very strategic and picky on surveys that we are, sending out to the community.
So we're 3 years into the plan. It sounds like the progress is going. You
yes.
mentioned the alternative high school, which mm-hmm. that isn't surprising. But I guess, were there anything else along the way through those first 2 years where you made some adjustments? Can you talk about how having that plan has helped you kind of recognize things and adjust where needed?
Absolutely. Our plan is really based on growth. You know, of course, you want to get kids to proficiency, and that's the goal always, proficiency, graduation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have growth every year, you're never going to get to proficiency. So we're focusing in on growth. And so we're looking at, we have three different assessment cycles or windows throughout the year that it's not about the test, but it's really to see where kiddos are. And we
mm-hmm.
meet them where they are, and we take them from there, And so growth is very important. The other piece I feel that we needed to make adjustments in just our systems and structures, not only specifically in our central office.
Mm-hmm.
We created site support teams where the majority of the staff in central office is get them closer to the work, which is our schools.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And so now every feeder pattern, right, so we have four different feeder patterns, has a team that has our math experts, our ELA, our language art experts, special ed experts. We have an assistant superintendent oversees all that work, and now the work is being provided, the support in our schools. Our principals really like the new structure. As a central office, we are there. Our duty and our job is to support our schools, period.
Yes.
And so I think making some of those shifts and being strategic about that. Just reallocating resources and personnel, not necessarily putting more money because we don't have it, right? And so you have to work with what you have, but just really reallocating resources to be able to best support our schools, because that is where the work happens. That's where the important work happens. And that's where the difference happens as well for our kids.
And I would think at the school level, the principals and the teachers then feel more empowered.
Yes.
And then they've bought in. I mean, now they're invested in the success. It's
absolutely
not just like one of these going to work every day and then just seeing it as an ordinary job.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I meet with our union partners on a monthly basis. I also meet with our principal. We have a principal leadership group to ensure that we are listening and we are
valuing the feedback. Yeah, it's a conversation. It's not a top-down.
Absolutely.
I think that's a much more effective management.
Yes, very collaborative.
Yep.
Once again, we are speaking with Las Cruces School Superintendent Ignacio Ruiz. If you have any questions for the superintendent, give us a call, 575-526-5825. One of the other things the governor is pushing for this year at the legislature is universal child care.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who, you know, is getting kids at 5 years old, how important do you notice a difference from those kids who have had a little bit of child care and a little bit of pre-K, mm-hmm, as opposed to those who haven't?
Absolutely. That's key. You know, setting that foundation for our kids. We have several pre-K early childhood programs, you know, Head Start, Nevada funded type of programs, and you can see the difference. You can see the difference when they hit kindergarten, their vocabulary, many things, and academic based, they're more used to being in the classroom.
So
the research shows, right, it's that getting our kiddos to reading proficiency by third grade, and it starts there. If you get them there, the data shows that the success, I mean, is off the charts. And when they're not, that's when the challenge is. So very, very important. It's great that the governor, I know as a state, we're looking at that. Whether you're in one of our early childhood programs or, you know, some of the for-profit, et cetera, the important piece is that we set a solid foundation for our kiddos.
I didn't realize the district has its own early childhood program.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And for example, Head Start is a federally funded. That's still we're keeping our fingers crossed, right, because
yes,
of the fact that it's federally funded, but so far so good. But we also have state-funded type programs, and actually as early as three-year-olds as well, you know, that we get. Proud of the work that's being done there as well.
I know that one of your other big initiatives is working at the high school level,
mm-hmm,
to increase graduation rates.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yes, this year we have a graduation initiative to really and really just to bring the work together. I really feel that as we are focused in, for example, we're always focusing on our seniors and trying to get them right, get them to the finish line, right?
Yeah.
But
that's
also
almost too late.
Yeah, and that's almost too late, right?
Yeah.
So we're really focusing in also on our freshmen, our ninth graders that are coming in. And so at the semester, we are looking at those kiddos that are struggling to make sure that we're getting them the support, the resources. We've established graduation teams, task force. First of all, we have a task force centrally, but also at each high school, where we have teams looking at the data, ensuring that we're identifying those kiddos and we're catching them early. The other goal is also middle school, to start thinking through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel that as we do that, as we focus in on those resources and as we look at our data in real time and support and catch those kiddos early, that's going to, you know, it's going to make a difference. The other piece is also alternate pathways to graduation.
Yeah.
We're creating different pathways to ensure that if you have a challenge, you know, those large comprehensive high schools can be overwhelming sometimes for our kids. And what happens, they get academic frustration and then they fall behind. Yeah. So we're looking at how we can do things such as work-based learning, capstone projects, things like that, because the goal obviously is graduation, but also to master the content, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. There's different ways that kiddos can do that.
And that also builds in the kiddo and the child or the teen,
yes,
a sense of accomplishment, a sense that then they're not just going to be despairing and just taking whatever crummy job. I mean, that they really know they can learn.
Absolutely.
I think that's the important thing.
Absolutely.
If they learn, they can learn.
Exactly. And that they receive the support that they need.
Yeah.
Another important piece of this is our career tech ed. We're ramping up efforts there to ensure that kiddos, again, CTE or career technical education is not an alternative to college. It is another pathway, right? Because you can make you can have great careers in that area.
Absolutely.
As much as you can with a bachelor's or a master's
That's
degree.
That's right. We don't want a cookie cutter world, do
exactly,
we?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we need all sorts of skills.
Absolutely.
To succeed.
One example and this is from legislative support from last legislative session, we received some money to be able to purchase a food truck. And so part of that is kids are going to be a part of the branding of it, the culinary arts piece is going to come into that. Also, the entrepreneurship. How do you run a business?
Yeah.
And so those are the skills that our kids are also going to be able to gain. And this legislative session, we're asking for more support for a second truck. It not only is it fun, but they're learning a lot of life, skills that are important.
Even if they, to be able to balance their own accounts someday.
Exactly. Well, so excited about that.
The other thing with high school kids, several years ago, I was in a leadership Las Cruces thing, where as our project, you always have to do a project.
Yes.
And we took on teenage homelessness, which was something I was really ignorant of. How many kids are going to high school and living on a friend's couch
or
living in a car?
Very good question.
Can you talk a little bit about recognizing that and the support that you're able to give to those students?
Yeah, in our district, we have over 300 kiddos that are homeless, and housed. And so it is a big priority for us. We do support it's called through the McKinney-Vento program that we have. Also, there's been some state – we just received a grant not too long ago to be able to support our families, of course, the family, not just the kiddo. And we were allocated some grant dollars to be able to support things such as, pay rent, deposits, car breaks down, repairs, those type of things, to remove some of those barriers, to ensure that that we can help them to get to the point where they're not unhoused anymore, and just provide supports. We have a team, our family engagement team, and our McKinney-Vento team that is constantly monitoring and supporting and seeing how whether it's tutoring, just different supports and resources. But the grant that we receive at the state level, which is kind of I would call it an experimental, also paying kiddos for attending, for being in school. Giving them a small amount of money, they can open up a bank account. Now you're also teaching them that financial literacy, piece. So there are some things there that we are doing, and we'll be keeping a close eye on that data. I really feel that's going to make a huge difference for those families.
Yeah, and what I did realize is until you're 18 years old, you really don't qualify for services. And so those 16 and 17-year-old kids are kind of – without your support, they're kind of out there on their own.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's shocking, isn't it?
It is. And the first year that I was here, when we established the Family Support Center, that's another key, right, those services for our families. We've partnered with Resilience Leaders here in the community that's going to be doing a lot of that work. All of that has come from also legislative support. These are additional dollars that are not part of the regular budget allocation. So, again, I really thank our local delegation for that support that they provide on a yearly basis.
And you're going up to Santa Fe.
I'll be up there this weekend.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like the Hunger Games up there, right?
Sometimes.
Yes,
A 30-day session every day.
It is. It's going to be quick, fast and furious. But we've also done a lot previous to the legislative session. We've been in contact. Yeah, the groundwork.
Right.
Hosted dinners and just meetups. And again, I've really established a great relationship where I can call and text our legislators. And they're great. They're very responsive and very supportive.
And did they reach out to you too when
they
have a bill coming up and they wonder how you'll respond to it?
Absolutely.
How the school district,
yeah, they do. You know, and that's great about our delegation. They'll reach out for some feedback,
yeah,
or just, hey, what should we be focusing on? Give us some feedback. You know, so again, I really appreciate,
yeah,
that, and being in a community in this part of the state that you have that access to legislators because they care and they want to,
yeah,
make sure,
yes,
that they're making the well-informed decisions up in Santa Fe.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And that's part of that collaborative management,
absolutely,
too. It's all the way up to the legislature.
Right, exactly.
Conversations.
Yes,
go,
yes,
for, go a long way.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have any challenges that we haven't talked about or ideas for the future?
Well, you know, challenges, it's there's always challenges. It's just being strategic. You know, our enrollment is still continuing to decline, although we've done things, you know, we've partnered with student recruitment, and we've actually recruited back close to 250 students in the community back to our school district.
Who had dropped out?
They were just, you know, whether they were charters or, you know, online,
oh, okay,
in,
yeah,
other,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
other type of, you know, which is fine. You know, parents have that choice.
Sure.
But we want to make sure that our parents understand the programs and the things that we're doing as a district to support students. Also, we've partnered with Graduation Alliance, which is also the dropout prevention and dropout, bringing kids back that have dropped out. And I'm proud to say that we re-engaged about 200 kids in that program,
wow,
as well, that we had lost, and have actually graduated about 25 kids that were not, that were, had dropped out completely. So proud of
that's
that
impressive
work. It is. The demographics show that our birth rates are declining.
Mm-hmm.
We are graduating more kiddos than are coming in kindergarten. So the enrollment is not like we're going to skyrocket. It's declining. Now, you know, things such as Project Jupiter and some of these things may bring more, right? Whatever side of the aisle you stand on that.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, that is a huge challenge for us because that has a direct impact on budget, right? Because you're budgeted per student.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that is a huge – chronic absenteeism is another one. We made some gains, about a 3% gain this past year, which is huge, right? Because 3%,
yeah,
represents a lot of kids,
yeah,
that we reengaged. But that continues to be a challenge for us.
You mentioned, I'm just curious, Project Jupiter. Do you, with the industrial revenue bonds, do you get the same percentage of that, or how does that work?
You know, I'm not sure. I can't,
okay,
on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it helps. But one of the things that they're investing in, those, that community investments that they're making, so part of that where we're benefiting is to access some dollars for our CTE center that that is currently in design right now, the 4,000-square-foot building, to ramp up our CTE programs.
What is CTE?
So the Career Tech Educational,
okay,
Education, which is focusing in on the building trades, manufacturing, those areas that are in high need right now. And like I was speaking earlier, those pathways for kids and providing those opportunities. And so we're going to benefit from that as well.
How's your relationship with the university? Have they been good allies?
Absolutely. You know, New Mexico State, you know, Dr. Ferme and just others there, it's been a great relationship where we constantly partner many projects. We have a huge after-school STEM program that is New Mexico State runs for us, and we partner in that. The College of Hest there in NMSU and the new dean there.
That's health, education, and social?
Yeah, health, yes, education, yes, social, and I forget what the T is. I apologize.
Yeah.
But I know education
things
falls
have been
in there.
Yes. Since I retired from,
yeah,
MSU. So,
but
yeah,
they've been great partners, you know, again, we're finding even other ways to support our teachers and support them as well.
Yes,
yeah,
that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, you mentioned the bond that was passed during,
mm-hmm,
this local election. You also had three school board members who are up for re-election.
Yes.
All of them won their races.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that you could look at those two things and take that as, you know, a vote of confidence from the community.
Yes.
Giving yourself, I would think that having the board members come back give you a certain amount of continuity,
mm-hmm,
and you're not having to, you know, start over with new people. Can you talk about that a little bit?
That is huge, you know, as a superintendent. And when you think about continuity in leadership in a school district, is having that consistency, you know, throughout. Again,
mm-hmm,
change takes time, right? And like I said, with our strategic plan, et cetera. So that was a key piece to ensure that we continue that work. And so, you know, that was huge for them to be reelected. Again, the continuity, the consistency of leadership. Since I've been here, they've been very supportive. We really do work as a team of six. And, you know, I've seen systems where because that it's not working at that level, it impacts, right, every single piece of that organization. And so that was huge and that was key. And that's a great point. I really see that as a vote of confidence from the community, and I appreciate that confidence, that there's challenges and things that we need to continue to get better in. Absolutely, and we are. And we are doing that. And our board sees that and realizes that. And it was just, again, just great to have that consistency and continuity.
One of the issues that was controversial when they did it, that was before you came on, and I don't think it is anymore, but the year-round calendar, mm-hmm. it seems like people have adjusted to that pretty well. And has that had the impact that you hoped it would academically, reducing that three-month off period in the summer?
I really feel it has. I know some parents, you know, that 2 weeks, you know, they like that. But actually our data and our survey data showed that they preferred a shorter, you know, breaks. And our students especially preferred shorter breaks. As we looked at our summer piece, we looked at our data this year. It seemed like our initial assessments were a little bit higher than in the past. Mm-hmm. And so it's making a difference. I really feel it is. I think the key piece to this is that over the summer, whether you're in a program, whether you're at home, you know, our kiddos have access to our, you know, some of those online programs that you can mm-hmm. continue to, you know, focus in on math and focus in mm-hmm. on reading. And we encourage our parents to continue that. And so I think we've adjusted to that. The key piece is that we stay with that, because what you don't want to do to a community is change the calendar every year, right?
Because right.
our
yes.
parents plan, you know, you have daycare, you have all these other things that, you know, that you plan in advance, and we don't want. That's why it was great that we voted this calendar process for the next 3 years to create some consistency there in our community.
And it
also
gives you some good data.
It does. It does. It really gives you the longitudinal data to be able to look at what impact has it had.
In our last few minutes here, mm-hmm. what haven't we asked you, and what new things are coming up down the road that we should keep an eye out for?
Well, you know, a few things. I think, you know, again, our projects, we just talked a little bit, are some of our construction projects. We're looking at our professional learning. We've partnered with some great partners, thought partners around how we do that equity work in the classroom, right? When we think about Martinez Yazzie, we've incorporated a new instructional process. And I say new, but it's been around for a bit. And really what it does, it focuses in on the socio-cultural piece in the classroom that's so important.
Yeah.
When kiddos are talking, when kiddos are interacting, when they are collaborating, that is when the learning is happening, right? Not when the teacher's in front of the class that holds all the learning. It really is our kids. The other piece is technology. You know, we're looking at how do we move forward with technology. You know, back when we had the COVID dollars, there was lots of computers were purchased, and it was more of a quantity instead of quality. Mm-hmm. And our technology, you know, our laptops, our kiddos, we're hearing from our kids, from our students, that we need better equipment. And so we're figuring out how do we do that. You know, again, there's a cost to that, but we want to be strategic on how we do that. AI is another one, right? Ensuring that we are using that, because it's a great resource if you use it the right way, right?
Yes.
There's all, you know, we're providing guidance to our educators on when is the best time to use it, and our students as well, but when is it when you shouldn't use it?
Yeah.
And kiddos are, you know, they come up with some things. They're smart.
Listen to the kids.
Oh, yeah, and we listen to them as well, because how best can they utilize it? And when they utilize it in the wrong way, we also learn from that, right?
Yes.
Because how did you figure that out? Tell us how you figure that out, because
right.
we want to know. Yes, you shouldn't have done that, but let's, you know, let's leverage that.
As somebody who has been a writer my whole life, I really worry about, you know, nobody needs to learn the basic skills of writing anymore.
Mm.
This is what I want to say it for me, and AI spits it out.
Yeah.
So how do you make sure that kids are writing their own book reports?
Absolutely. And again, you know, we're AI where you can use it to do some of the research and those type of things, but your voice still needs to be there.
And it matters.
Your voice matters. Because even AI, you have to tell it what to give you.
Right.
And that's that creative piece, you know, those things. So you know, we're working with our teachers, with our students, and yeah, you know, there's some situations where we have to have those conversations. But to me, it's also it's about educating our students on how to utilize the you know, the technology and the the resources that they have. So the expectation is just they should still be producing their own individual work, right? Because that is important. Back to the writing piece and how you tell your story, those type of things.
That's really important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of wrapping it up, I want to get back to tests because I really think that especially when, you know, during a previous administration, there was obsession on standardized tests. And people think that's the end all and be all. Can you just talk a little bit about how important it is to make progress, what kind of progress you're making, but also about that there is so much more to education than can be captured on those tests.
You know, assessments have their place, right? You want to make sure, as I mentioned earlier, we want to see where our kids are. We want to make sure that they're making progress and that, you know, that growth. You know, we also have to keep in mind that when we do these high stakes testing, it's one snapshot, one day of that kiddo, of that student. And yes, it's important, but we just can't. We shouldn't just use that data point to determine how are you doing as a student.
You can't generalize. Right?
Exactly. There's so much more that comes into it. You think about a well-rounded student, not only academically, but you think about our activities. You know, here in Las Cruces, our kids are representing at the state level, at the national level, on many things. Right, on our Future Farmers of America, the health occupation, you know, just different programs, you know, our music programs, our athletics, all of those things that our kids are showing some great success and representing not only us as a community but also as a state. So to me, a well-rounded student is that we are providing those opportunities. Academics absolutely are huge and important. The big piece is that how do we get them to master the content, whatever that is? It shouldn't be a test. It should be how do you show mastery throughout? And that's what we're trying to make sure that our teachers understand that, that it's not just, you know, you're sitting on your desk and you're listening to a lecture
and you're memorizing.
And you're memorizing that rote memory. Theory. You know,
want to teach critical thinking.
Critical thinking.
Learning
how to learn. And that's the important piece.
And that's for lifelong then.
It is. Yeah, exactly. And that's where we want to make sure that as kids leave our district or graduate, that they have options because, you know, an education is that equalizer.
I believe it too.
Because that was me. That was me at one point. That education helped me to have different options, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't that – not that my mom and dad had, you know, what they did for us, but there was other options for myself as well. And that's my goal for our kiddos as well.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of kids that's really the only time when they are an equal is when they're in the classroom.
Absolutely.
And they have that feeling.
Yes.
Well, Superintendent Ruiz, it's been terrific talking to you.
Wonderful conversation.
Thank you
for coming in.
Absolutely. Well, great opportunity. I always appreciate being here. And yes, again, last thing I'll say is just thank you for the community, for their support, for their advocacy, and also our educators in our district for all the hard work that they're doing and ensuring that we make a difference for our kids.